shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, Interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes terrible movies in Argentina sometimes, and we make fun of them. I am your conductor, Alex Dunbar. I am joined this week by Cody Wolf.
Well, hello, shitheads.
Yeah, and Brian Mueller.
I'm going to have to go with the same character, but I don't eat anything that I can't identify.
Oh, that line was so gross.
Well, not always.
Everything about that line, like, just skeeved me out. Yes. Right now, we sent Jack Estabrook upstate to the Gray Bar Hotel, and Andy Wolf is in parts unknown. If you see him, right into the show.
He might be gambling at the new casino in Chinango.
Oh, that's true.
That could be it. Losing the family fortune.
That's a real possibility.
Believe me, there's no family fortune.
Oh, come on. Some of that old wolf money.
Our movie this week, 1991's Highlander 2, The Quickening.
The Quickening. Now, the version we watched, we should just say, is the one of the special editions, I think.
We're not even completely sure we watched.
I just watched the original one.
Did you watch on Hulu?
Yeah.
That's what we watched, too. Okay. We think from Wikipedia that it has some features of a recut.
Yeah.
But then it had some features that I was reading the recut took out. So,
well, there's a couple recuts. There's like the theatrical one, then there's the, I think it was like the Renegade one, which might be the one we watched.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Or like, no, I think ours
I
was,
think we all got
there's like special edition and then Renegade version.
Did everybody get 75 texts from Jack about the different versions of this movie?
Oh, I got the email and I ignored it.
Yeah.
I was just watching one.
A wise move on your choice.
Because I knew Jack would come in here for his hair and had watched the true version.
I bet Jack would have watched every version like back to back to back.
And I don't know. We're not sure which one. We watched the one on Hulu. That's maybe the only way we can describe it.
Yeah, just go with that.
It starts off with, again, as so many of our movies do, a lot of text on screen.
Yes.
Telling us that pollution has destroyed the ozone layer. And a shield is needed to protect the Earth. Or is it needed? Dun, dun, dun. And I'm like, you just told me the shield is... I have no reason to question what you've only told me in text on screen until you're telling me to question it. It was pretty ridiculous.
It was one of those text on screens, too, where it like gives away the rest of the movie. Like in Theodore Rex did the same thing, where it was like...
Yes.
Took away the mystery of it, whether or not this was
whether or not the shield is needed. And minor spoiler alert, the shield is pretty inconsequential to the plot of the movie.
Yes.
And it probably didn't need any setup because it doesn't make a difference.
That is true.
And in fact, there's a point where it's pretty clear that the Sean Connery character doesn't even know what this shield is or what it has to do with anything and doesn't change any of the decisions he makes. So that's great.
He really does. Yeah, he has no...
He has no stake
in dog
in
that fight.
Yeah. And it makes sense when you think about this, that I read that like he wasn't supposed to be in this movie, Sean Connery, and then what's his name? Chris Lambert like was best friends with him after making the first one, so he like insisted.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it looked like. It looked like, all right, we can have Sean Connery in it, but he's going to kind of come in midway. He's not going to really know what's going on, and we're going
to
kill him.
Going to have to kill him.
It's always like they said to Christopher Lambert, yeah, he can be in it. Are you cool if he doesn't have scenes with other actors? Because we can definitely do that. We'll get into Sean Connery in this and the weirdness of that. This movie is directed by Russell Mulcahy, who you would know from a lot of music videos. And there are moments in this movie where some of the visuals are interesting. I think especially here in the beginning where we get some long tracking shots up to an opera sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that shot was interesting.
That was an interesting shot.
Not so much that one, but the one inside where it kind of just goes all around the opera house.
All around the opera house.
Up to his booth. I thought that was an interesting shot.
It means nothing.
Right.
And in the scope of, like, in terms of actually serving the story, it doesn't... In fact, it's less than nothing. It actually hurts because the shot then makes you think like, oh, this is important when it's not important. But it is a cool tracking shot all the way around where we see old Christopher Lambert who is watching an opera. And feel free to chime in if I get this wrong at any point, because I very well may. The opera is reminding him. Is it an opera based on things happened?
No, I think it's an actual opera.
It is an actual opera. Okay.
But I think it's just like paralleling his experience as a Highlander.
Okay, paralleling, maybe? Right. Paralleling.
That's what I assumed.
His
Highlander, the opera.
It seemed to be paralleling his experiences as a rebel going against General Katana on an alien planet. Right?
That's what they're flashing back to, right?
Okay, right. I don't know.
I was confused because I didn't see the first one.
Yeah,
so
I haven't either.
I didn't know if this was a flashback to the first one or not.
The first one does not involve an alien planet.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Well, because like I was telling you guys beforehand, I was watching it with my girlfriend, and I had never seen the first one she had, and I was like, I asked her, I'm like, is this flashing back to the first movie, like a recap? And she's like, no, like none of this is in the first movie.
Yeah.
So that was like, why did they do that? And then I realized, I read afterwards, that they just like redid the plot of the first movie to fit with what they want to do with the second movie.
Kind of, yeah. They kind of retconned their own movie to fit into a sequel idea.
Yeah.
That doesn't really go anywhere in a sense, but...
No.
Yeah. So in this flashback, Sean Connery is gathering rebels against a General Katana. And Sean Connery just is like... You know, it says like, hey, I'll show you your new leader. It's that fellow right there. And Christopher Lambert's looking behind him like, who is he talking about?
He's looking like, who?
That's real confidence building. Like, I'm sure those guys like 10 minutes later were like, that guy looked behind him and he's running this show. So.
That did make me laugh. And he's like looking like, there's no one behind me. Who are you pointing to?
Yeah, there was a couple of funny little like broad comic moments in this, almost like Warner Brothers, like Looney Tunes level comedy. Where you're like, boy, I don't know what the deal is with those. And Christopher Lambert is organizing an alien planet revolt against this General Katana played by Michael Ironside. And almost immediately, as we're cutting back between the opera and this. We cut from them like organizing a revolt to he's captured.
didn't last long.
This was a very brief revolt. It didn't even last a full memory, I don't think. And Michael Ironside kills a snake for some reason.
Yeah, he just like squishes it.
Which I think was for us to think he was tough, but I thought he was also saying the snake was his pet. I didn't know what was going on here.
This is where snake looked like a giant like slug.
Oh, maybe
leech.
It was a slug. This was a very much a counselor situation.
I thought it was an eel.
Something.
Oh, maybe it was an eel. Because I went to Wikipedia early and often to try to know what was going on in this movie.
Yeah, and I think I would have appreciated how bad the opening part was. Because the whole time I was watching, I really thought this was just recapping what happened in the first movie.
Right.
And I knew the first movie is considered a good one. So I was just like... All right, you know, whatever. They're showing us what happened in the first one. Okay, it's kind of weird, but I'll go along with it.
Well, I did think it was weird that they're so extensively recapping the first movie.
Yeah,
right.
Like, the only reason I thought was because I saw that it was like 5 years in between movies, and the thing is like in the 80s and 90s, it's not like you could go on the internet and like read a recap. So I thought, all right, maybe in those days, you figure like you haven't seen anything in 5 years, they're giving you a lot of exposition, but apparently not.
And then when you find out this has nothing to do with the first movie, I'm imagining like a real hardcore Highlander fan in 1991 seeing this being like, what is going on? So Connery and Christopher Lambert are put on trial and their punishment... Michael Ironside, who seems to run this alien planet, is like, kill them. But these judges are like, no, we're going to do something
this
way
is the
more
most
confusing.
Convoluted punishment I have ever heard.
You could not find a more confusing punishment. You
and was it
even
a punishment?
I'm not even sure it was. Well, because Christopher Lambert is...
Well, and this is where it deviates from the theatrical version, too. Because the version we watch, it's explained that they are being sent to the future, to the distant future, to fight other Highlanders?
Yes, to fight other Highlanders. Okay,
and
okay, I'm with you.
If they succeed in that, then they have the choice to come back in time?
Yes, they have the choice to come back to planet Zeist.
But was it planets? Because I thought it was in time. In this version, it was like
I thought we were on an alien planet. Oh,
in the theatrical version, you are.
Because they did show us that one weird.
Maybe
they did show like one weird.
Because they said into the distant future at one point.
They did. Well, they did say that. You're right. They did.
And I know
say
that's because I think because in the I know in the special version they have all this stuff I was reading like where they're watching them on like the TV.
Yeah,
and that was in this version we saw. So I that guess stuff that's was true. Added. But so I really wasn't listening that closely. But what I picked up was that they're being sent to the distant future to fight other Highlanders, and if he's the last Highlander, he has a choice to either grow old and die in the future, or come back to the current time, their time, and be fine, be free.
I guess. Yeah. And which point General Katana is like, like, what kind of punishment is this? And I'm gonna like,
It doesn't make sense.
I was kind of with him. I'm like,
I mean, because Christopher Lambert is even kind of like, sounds good. You know, like, he doesn't have much of a problem with it. He's like, I'll go fight other Highlanders. Yeah. You know.
And Sean Connery, like, just like, dies then, doesn't he?
Well, I think they're then this is where it's connecting to the first movie, because they're saying that's how Christopher Lambert ended up in modern times for the first movie.
Oh,
and
so
then
that's like
Sean Connery is killed. That's like a prequel. And then Sean Connery is killed in the first Highlander.
Right.
And that's why then Christopher Lambert is getting old by himself and becomes old man Christopher Lambert at the opera. This is so confusing. I'm amazed my brain is even processing.
And Ramirez tells him before they like transport to the future, he's like, if you ever need me, just say my name.
I was like, you know what? Even if we die, and I'm not saying we will, look, you know what? You've all seen the first movie. I die. Wink, wink. You know,
if you need me, say my name.
That's a really common name, too. Like, I wonder how many times he like was trying to say, Ramirez.
Well, when he does say it in the movie, I was like, what? It's so awkward when he died.
Ramirez, old friend.
Yeah, and he says it, and then nothing happens for an hour.
For like a day.
Yeah.
Ramirez literally has to
come again?
Scale the globe to get to.
When you say Ramirez, Ramirez.
You mean me? You
There's
did
a
say
lot of Ramirez's friend. Out there. You're in New York City.
Are we friends, or are we more like co-workers? I don't, you know.
Are we on a first name basis?
Yeah. So now old man Christopher Lambert is driving around in the future. He's now left the opera house. He's driving around. We get a crazy sequence where he drives by an old man on a walker and what appears to be a drugged woman being raped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Which Christopher Lambert has... It's not even like he has no reaction. He seems to have...
You get the feeling that he drives by that every day.
Every day. Yeah, like that's a daily occurrence.
Hey, Lenny, Marcia.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the same time, so now this is an eerie tie-in to Jaws 3, because we get to a scene of people in scuba gear breaking into a futuristic water...
See, I was thinking Solar Babies at this point, too.
This was Solar Babies.
Mixed with Jaws 3, I don't know. And so, they're breaking into the control center for the shield.
For the shield.
Which is a shield over the ozone layer.
Or ozone layer.
Yeah, over the Earth.
Yeah.
To keep the sun's rays out. And they're trying to prove or bring it. I don't know if they're trying to actually bring it down, or later on she says they're just trying to bring attention to it.
She does say different things. Yeah. And then they get in there and she's just... some information pops up that basically says, says to them, like, actually, the ozone layer's restored itself. We're not needed. And then she's like, oh, this changes everything. Look at this information. And her friends are like, we got to get out of here. Like, I don't know. Like, one of her friends had a look on his face. He's like, I don't even know what we're doing here anymore. I don't know.
These are the worst terrorists ever.
Yeah, yeah. So they leave. Because now they've confirmed what we as the audience learned in the first text of the movie, that the shield is not necessary to protect the ozone layer. God, there's a lot of... This is a real what they call in Hollywood and then script, because it's like, and then Michael... Because nothing is connected. This is all just like
Well, at
fragments.
This point, yeah. Summit Cloud goes to... He goes to like a bar.
Yep.
And he's drinking. He sees on TV the report about... the terrorists breaking in, and they have a shot of...
Can we talk about a cutaway that happened during that? If anybody ever watched this movie again, there's a cutaway of a guy who slowly, it's like a close-up of a guy, and he slowly looks up at a TV, and I don't know if it could be more unnatural. Like, he just sort of is like, huh? And, like, looks up in a close-up, which made me think, like, I think they had to make an edit cover it somehow, and it felt like maybe they even picked this up as, like, a pickup shot, because it didn't even look like it was shot in the location.
Just in the director's kitchen, like...
Yeah, and I feel like it was literally, like, the, you know, second assistant editor, like, had to put on a costume, because this, he seemed very uncomfortable. It's the most uncomfortable acting in close-up that I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah. But, so McCloud sits on the bar, and he's drinking. He's all sad that he's old, and...
yeah, I think you're right.
And he's like, I don't know if he's just thinking about his life or whatever. Then some woman comes up and she's like, "Hey, are you McCloud?"
Yes.
He's like, "Yes, I am." And she's like, "Screw you. I hate you for some reason. I can't remember.
You, what oh, he, oh, she goes,
because he created the shield."
She's like, "You think you saved the world, but you ruined it." And he's like, and he kind of thinks about that for a second. He's like, No, this isn't a compliment. Okay, yeah, no, not a compliment. Got it.
And at this point, they hadn't revealed yet that he, like, worked on the shield.
No.
So, like, I thought this was some Highlander-related incident where he saved the world.
Yeah, well, because then immediately the bartender's like, "No, he didn't. He saved us all." And I'm like, which one is it? I'm an audience member. Which one is it? Yeah.
It's the first 10 minutes of the movie. I really don't know yet.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Oh, you gotta get out of here. Like, you gotta get it. Go, just leave. So she, like, leaves, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, McCloud, I'm sorry. You know, you did good for the world," or whatever. And then all of a sudden she comes out of nowhere with a bottle. She's like, "Oh!" And she like swings at him.
And she takes a swing at McCloud, and then the bartender has to chase her out again. And then there's a funny comic beat where while the bartender is chasing this woman around, McCloud's like, "Maybe I deserve this," and he steals a drink, like something out of like a 30s like screwball comedy.
And I think all this was just to get his hand cut.
Yes,
it was this whole elaborate
this
thing.
Yes, this is an
just
elaborate.
So he gets a cut on his hand.
Yep.
So you see what happens in a second.
Well, because then all right, we should mention too that Michael Ironside, in the future, gets told by the judges, "Hey, McCloud still hasn't made a choice. He killed all the Highlanders, but he hasn't made a choice if he wants to return to this wherever. Maybe this alien planet, maybe the past. You choose your own adventure on that one. Or if he wants to grow old and die there."
Which I thought, but by him growing old in the future was him like saying, "I'm going to grow old in the future."
Yeah, he's like old and everything.
He's
like,
old.
Hasn't he kind of made...
Kind of has made a choice.
Because one of the henchmen even says, like, he'll be dead in a couple weeks.
One of the henchmen unwraps this whole movie by saying, like, "Boss, I don't know if you want to send us back. He's going to be dead in a few weeks." Yeah. Like, he's pretty ancient. And Michael Ironside's like, "No, go back and kill him." Which sets in motion Michael Ironside done nothing, he would have been better off.
Yeah, because he even says that later. He was like, "I was content to grow old and die until you came back."
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Ironside could have done nothing.
It's like, over the top of Robert Loggia. Needlessly sends henchmen after his stepson or his grandson when he knows where he's going.
Where he's going,
He's going to be fine. He'll be there in 2 days. But
yeah, this is
that same.
This is like
you could have just sat back and done nothing.
Or like the worst Bond plot. Yeah, where it's like you have victory. You don't have to do anything. You only could screw things up, and he does.
I don't even get why what at that moment made him decide to send people after him.
I don't know.
And why go there to, like, this is all the, like, is the future happening in real time? Are they just, because, I mean, he could go to any point in the future, right? I mean, why does
they,
he have to
they
go
make
to when he's super old?
Way. Yeah, they do, yeah.
Because it seems like I don't know.
I don't know, yeah, because they make it appear that they could just go anywhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so
because, like, he hasn't grown old, so they kind of just fast forwarded on his future, right?
Apparently. Yeah. Yeah,
they've just been sitting there watching it.
Or you feel like they could have just watched him and been like, "Well, let's see if what he, you know, let's see if he dies." You know, I don't know. Like,
whatever.
So our other main character, Virginia Madsen, she comes up to McCloud.
Who was the terrorist?
Who was the terrorist? She comes up and she's like, "McCloud, you need to help me." And he's instantly kind of like, by the way, Christopher Lambert's old man voice was never...
It got, like, progressively older.
I thought he had, like, throat cancer.
Yes. It got progressively funnier and
it got
more ridiculous.
Like an old man, old Jewish man, like...
Yes.
"What do you want?
Yeah, with kind
what
of
do,
that
restaurant. What do you want? Dude, what do you want?
Like, oh, there was like a weird kind of like
well, he's like wheezing too. He's like,
there was a wheeze to it.
Which yes, wasn't yeah, there yeah, in the yeah, previous no. scene.
Yes.
And like, it got to the point where I could barely understand what he was saying. Right, right. I'm like, is he dying right now?
Yeah, yeah.
He would have died in 4 seconds if they yeah. come back.
Yeah, they just waited one more minute.
Because all he says, McCloud says, where he's like, I don't like terrorists. And she's like, you know what? I used to admire you, but now you're just a tired old man. And I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to get in your car. Which he doesn't really stop her from doing to yeah. convince her he's to help him.
Trouble yeah. breathing at the moment.
Yeah, I know. He's like,
to fight off a woman.
He's like,
do you
lady,
know
I
CPR.
Do you have an inhaler?
I might need you. So, at the around the same time, some henchmen get sent from the past to the future.
Yes.
Who are like all henchmen in the 90s and late 80s are wearing like weird futuristic goggles.
They're dressed like yes. Kiss.
Yes. And they do that thing, and I feel like a with couple beaks. Of the other ones we've seen, like, I don't know if it was Street Fighter or did that, like, like they do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah,
weird,
throughout the
like,
whole movie's like,
the whole, they're doing that, like, screeching, like, oh, God, yeah. like,
hyenas.
Why are we sending idiots back?
So, but through the act of them coming to the future,
yes,
McCloud turns into an immortal again. And so, you see this by the blood from the cut on his hand going back into his cut, and he heals.
So by the main bad guy sending henchmen, he makes McCloud immortal yes. again.
Which they explain later on, which is a crazy...
Yeah, I didn't even get that explanation yeah. they gave later.
No, I didn't
either. Well, actually, that movie even itself either, makes yeah. fun of itself when they're like, yeah, something like that.
Something
like
that. Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. So Christopher Lambert says Virginia Massey's like, hey, get in that dumpster. And like, she okay. doesn't question for a second. She's like, all right. She just hops in. She doesn't even know what's going on. She's like, well, this guy I just said I don't respect told me to get in a dumpster. You know what?
I'm up for whatever.
Yeah, okay. I'm cool.
So the henchmen come flying in on, like, goblin...
But he, yeah, yeah. but he doesn't turn young yet.
Not yet, no. Not until he quickens.
And this is the first time when he goes, I'm here as my old friend.
He's just like,
I was waiting, the whole time for something to happen and yeah. nothing happened.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, no, I forgot.
And I thought he said Ramirez, my old friend, and then when nothing happened, that whole scene, I'm like, oh, did he say something else there?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like waiting for Sean Connery, like a lightning bolt to yeah. come down and Sean Connery said, to appear.
Yeah,
Gutierrez, my old friend.
Yeah.
No, that's not his name. What was his name?
Yeah.
So there's this whole fight.
A lengthy
which is actually
fight.
Some pretty decent, like, I mean, it's all white, like wire work and stuff. There's not like CG. It's
for,
just all,
for 1991,
it's a hoverboard fight.
Yeah, for 91, it's not bad.
Yeah,
yeah. The technical, some of the technical stuff done here is yeah. pretty impressive.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there's just a whole fight going on, an aerial battle. He kills the bad guys.
Well, one henchman, I believe, is accidentally decapitated by a one of the decapitations. I think is accidental. Like, I don't
remember.
Think Christopher Lambert yeah. even really caused.
I think he
it.
Was just trying to knock him off his wings or
something. And like a guy fell in front of like a train or something, or like or a truck.
Oh,
and
he
like,
fell off the truck. That's right. Yeah, they're fighting yeah. on top of a trolley or a truck. I think it was a trolley or a
yeah.
train. And he, like, just falls off and, like, slips underneath it. And it's, like, just perfectly lined up to where the
oh,
wheel
yeah,
gets
that
head
one.
Off.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, yeah.
And then the lightning in him finds Christopher Lambert. So, completely by accident. Now here's what bad guys have done. They have made him immortal. And by accidentally what? Getting decapitated, they have given him, brought him back to, like, youthful, yeah. like, full power.
Yeah, what was the lightning?
I think when you kill...
That's the quickening.
Yeah, when you kill a an immortal,
yeah.
I think it... Or another Highlander in the first one, I think.
If
it
you
was,
chop off their head,
you
yeah.
get like their power or something, and
you get their energy.
And he turns young.
Yeah,
again.
you get their 80s blue lightning.
I
pretty
see.
Much.
So he had
yeah.
to decapitate.
But I thought they, yeah. I thought it was called the quickening because of the sex scene that's coming up in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
It was
oh.
very, very quick.
Oh, that's the quickie.
The quickie.
This made me
what?
Laugh
the premature
so hard.
One quick question before we get to that: what is the quickening?
It's just that, I think.
When you decapitate a guy and steal his power.
Which I don't know why the whole movie is called The Quickening, because it happens like twice.
It happens, yeah. Well, a couple guys get quickened. Yeah. And so we do it. This is, and actually, there's another long scene of the other stunt guy who's got like a little like hang glider, and he's just flying back and forth. Yeah, yeah. And Christopher Lambert, it's funny, I've already referenced The Counselor because I needed Wikipedia. He rapidly sets up a counselor-style clothesline and decapitates the right, guy. Yeah. Which, if you're one of these henchmen, you would be like, look, there's one thing I can't let happen. I can't get decapitated.
That's what I was saying. I was watching it.
Yeah.
Like, when they're in that fight earlier with the swords and everything, like, why are you bothering, like, blocking, right, like, blocking shots to the legs? Just, like, holding in front of your neck the whole time.
Well, that's why I thought it was mighty convenient that the one guy just fell underneath the trolley and his neck was just perfectly, like, on the the track.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I can't do.
Why don't they just wear neck guards?
Oh, yeah. Like, huge, like, like, a really elaborate, you know, and be like...
So one area of the body they had to... They're wearing these big, like, shoulder pads and everything. Like, put those on your neck.
Yep. Sure. Yep. And right in here, before we get to the best sex scene we've ever had in a Stop the Movie movie, there's a movie within Highlander 2, which I called the Sean Connery movie, because within this science fiction, this terrible science fiction action movie, there's like a zany comedy. Fish out of water comedy starring Sean Connery, which has nothing to do with anything else we're seeing, where all of a sudden he just appears in Scotland on stage during a performance of Hamlet and just charms it up for a couple of minutes. Like, I mean, he's just, you know, to the point where he's interrupting this play. The other actors are trying to get him to leave, but he's so charming that when he leaves, the house band plays him off. They're like,
because he leaves on a zinger at the end.
He does a zinger, and the band's like, "Hey, look, we got to play out a zinger."
Says, "Farewell, shitheads."
For all the performances of Hamlet that have a live band. That's common in stage plays.
So now, and Christopher Lambert now is back in the street. He's young again. Virginia Madsen
does not waste any time.
He does not waste it. He's like, "Get Virginia Madsen, get out of that dumpster. We are taking a trip to the bone zone." Like
they literally just met.
Just met.
He threw in her dumpster, came back 40 years younger.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey,
let's get it on.
Up against this wall."
Yeah. Cue Barry White music.
I don't think I've ever seen a scene escalate quicker than this one.
I know. And they go from the beginning to the end.
They're like introducing themselves to each other while they're making out.
And I was kind of like, okay, so
there wasn't even much making out. Not much foreplay there.
Well, I was like, well, maybe they're gonna make out. I'm like, this is kind of weird. Like, she's attracted to him, but then it's like, oh no, there he's going for it. Yeah. Like, he's got it. He's rounding third. You know,
Well, I guess when you consider like he was an old man and suddenly like things work again, he's like, let's try it out.
Clean the pipes.
And we get a funny kind of like explaining scene with like Virginia Madsen and Christopher Lambert.
Terrible.
That's supposed to be exposition, right?
I think it's supposed to recap what caused him to.
They're just kind of like, we know you're confused right now.
Right.
This is why. Because she goes on this whole thing like, I think, and it sounds like she's just recapping what he told him or he told her
while they were having sex.
Maybe while they're having sex.
I guess.
So you see, like, I'm immortal, but. Not exactly. Yeah. Unless someone else comes back from the past.
I started laughing as soon as she said, "Let me just get this straight." And at that point, I was like, okay, it's in the movie. Just acknowledged. Yeah. We're all confused.
Yeah. Like, and even the Highlander guy doesn't quite understand what's going on.
Because he kind of passes some of it off, too. Like, don't think about that too much. Yeah.
So meanwhile,
I feel sorry. I was just going to say, I feel sorry for Virginia Madsen having to like memorize that line. My God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having to get through that take?
I don't even, I didn't understand. Like the only part I got was that if someone from the past comes to the future to where they are, that he becomes immortal again. Because the whole thing like, so in the past you're immortal, but here you're not. But unless you get your head cut off, then, but if there's someone, I don't know. It was like a whole.
It would have been great if he was like, let me get my lawyer on the phone here. My future lawyer who got me this plea bargain.
We drafted up this plea bargain 5 million years ago. Dust that off.
So meanwhile, back in Scotland, Sean Connery's in this hilarious scene. Very much not drawn out scene in a tailor shop.
He wants tailor shops. Because he wants clothes. And in a funny line, the salesman's like, "And why not? Indeed, we are the oldest gentleman's tailor in Scotland." And I'm just thinking, is that how every customer, is this the like, hey, welcome to Moe's of like this store? Like every, like, you know, other people are like, got it. You're the oldest. Yeah.
Do you have the 3-for-1 soup deal today?
Right. And he pays, he just pulls off, Because first, the suit store is kind of like, I don't know, old-timey pirate shirt guy. Like, I don't know what we can do for you. And then he just pulls off...
an earring off.
What appears to be just a pearl earring. And it's like, I think this answers all your questions.
Yeah.
And he's like, it certainly does.
Not only do they give him suits, they give him like brandy and
apparently a plane ticket. I think they buy him a plane ticket,
a limo.
Yeah, I'm like, what was this earring?
Hey, it's that old world's craftsmanship. You can't beat it.
Yeah.
And why are they? I know we were talking about this earlier before we started, but within the universe of this movie,
yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on what movie you're watching, but in the original one, what he's Hispanic slash Egyptian. Sean Connery. I think
he's, from what I've heard, he's Egyptian, but he's like pretending to be a Spaniard Hispanic? For some reason.
Okay,
yes, I think so, that's right.
But I don't know. I've never seen.
But clearly, but then in this movie, he's from like an alien planet, maybe.
Yep.
But Sean Connery actually is Scottish.
Yes, but the guy who's playing McLeod, who's Scottish, is not Scottish.
Is French.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, French or Swedish or something.
But
and Sean Connery does
seem my question is, why are they going out of their way to place him in Scotland when within this universe he's not Scottish at all, even though he has an obvious Scottish accent?
That's a great question, because Sean Connery's character also seems to be familiar with Scotland.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's a great question. It makes
Is Scotland the land of the Highlander?
I think so.
Yeah, that's when you respawn, you respawn in Scotland.
When you respawn.
It's like being John Malkovich, where you go in that, you start out in that ditch. Like,
yeah,
that's what that is.
And
Scotland is a ditch.
It's well, and to highlight that there's this second movie that's just a wacky comedy. They're playing like the William Tell Orchestra while Sean Connery's being fitted for clothes, like dun 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 dun. And then you're like, well, what tone is this movie? I mean, he's like, it's clear like Sean Connery showed up and was like, here's what I'm doing. If you guys want to roll a camera on it, that's cool. But here's the stuff. Here's what I think would be funny.
I have to get a new shoot today, so.
Yeah. And he is, but I will say, he is so charismatic. Like, just Sean Connery
when he's on screen, I was like, I was
It was totally watchable. Yeah. It was so watchable. Even though it made even less sense than the other movie we're watching, I was like, this is, I could just watch Sean Connery boss around Taylor's for a while. Like, this is funny.
So then he gets on a plane because he finds out that the fastest way to travel to...
Yeah.
Where are they? Is it New York? Or...
Sure.
the best way to get...
Yeah,
I think so.
To get west is on a plane.
Yeah.
Is to fly. And he's like,
Why is Sean... the next scene, they show him on a plane. He's like all amazed by the technology. What, in his world, why is he so amazed by this when, like, this is a guy who, like... At the beginning of the movie, had some like golden ooze that he put on the Highlander's forehead that like linked them, and he's like being transported. If you're doing time travel, I feel like airplane is something you can accept.
Not even that, because in the original version of it, he went from one planet to another.
Right.
So in that case, it's like, well, if you're just flying through the air, it's,
so like it a plane isn't that really out of the realm of possibility in his mind.
Well, because the Sean Connery character and the McLeod character in the first movie were in modern times together, weren't they? I think. Even my memories of the first one are shaky.
Because they come to. I was just wondering why they're flying like a super old like 40s plane in 2024. It was like an old prop plane.
Yes. Well, I feel like that felt to me, because this movie was shot in Argentina, that felt very much to me like a budgetary decision of, this is the only plane we can get. Here's the plane we've
got. These are what they fly in Argentina.
Yeah, this is what we got. Work with it.
It's Argentina's one plane.
Yeah. And now, so we're getting a bunch of like that early 90s kind of environmentalism of like, we get a couple of Virginia Madsen, Christopher Lambert, like ozone layer, humans are killing the planet.
Yeah, I think he at one point goes back to his old partner who he built the shield with, and they have a flashback of them building the shield because the ozone layer was depleted and the radiation from the sun was going to destroy the Earth. So they created the shield, which creates a shield around the Earth.
Yeah.
And, so they're
and by the way, his old partner is like, hey, you look great. At which point you want to be like, he looks like he's like 30.
Right.
He
just, yeah, why he is just nobody making
by 50 years?
Yeah. Yeah, why is no one making a deal out of the big deal out of the fact that he went from being like 85 right. to like 40 30. Again?
Yeah, and they
just, we did say, oh, you got a facelift, eh?
And
gonna, and right, John C. Like McGinley that. When he comes storming in later in the scene, he's like, oh, what the hell's his name again?
McCloud.
McCloud's like, oh, McCloud, yeah, good to see you again. I'm like, why is well, no
I
think one he like,
said like, oh, I didn't, yeah. I didn't know you were still alive, like implying that he's super old.
I that's yeah, that's, I mean, this
or this like, I didn't know you like reverse aged 40 years right. in the last week.
This would be like if all of a sudden like Sean Connery circa Dr. No yeah. came walking in, we'd be like, whoa, like,
what is some what amazing happened? Surgery?
Yeah, I mean, but everyone's like, well, you know, facelift.
It's 2024. Yeah. Technology is amazing.
Things happen. And Michael Ironside. Now, because he finds out his two henchmen have been killed, so he now makes things even worse, and he sends himself oh to my the God. Future.
This whole train sequence, the was it subway?
Yeah, he it lands.
Was so ridiculous.
He lands it was so in a subway car. Too. Yeah, which he for
why doesn't he land in Scotland?
That's true.
That's true. Actually, I don't guess know.
He could have well, been in Scotland.
He didn't respond though. He just transported from the.
Oh, that's true. He past. Teleported from the past. Mm. But he takes why Michael Ironside takes a subway car up to I believe more than 600 miles an hour
67 miles an hour or something like that.
Why would a subway car be able to go 600 yeah. miles an hour?
And when it hit that wall at the end of it,
it looked like it was like, going like 30 miles yeah. an hour when I went through the wall. Yeah.
There's people like G dust. Forces like their people, faces everyone are the melting.
Plane, like died from the force.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's just like
yeah.
yeah. barely breaks the wall.
It's such a strange scene. Would have
like vaulted through like the, like yeah. five buildings.
I kept feeling like someone in their production manager was like, hey, I've got this Argentinian subway that we can shoot in. And they're like, yeah, write something that involves a subway yeah. because we need to use that.
It was such like a sad scene because like I know like in movies like this, they want to establish like the guy's bad so people have to die. But like yeah. it's just such a sad way to die that these people are just like on the subway just going home from work. And this guy just like kills them by... Like you said, literally tearing their faces off yeah. of the G-Force. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been yeah. better off if, like, he just, like, impaled some of them with his sword or, like, did right. some magic explosive thing. Like,
yeah.
that's just kind of a sad way to go.
The yeah. one thing I did find interesting, though, just
and there were, like, note, kids on the car, too.
Is the yeah. one the one guy he's, like, trying to talk to but isn't paying attention to him because he's, like, watching TV or something. Like
yeah.
that. I just thought that was interesting because, like, people on cell phones now, like, not paying attention
he
did.
Well, he that guy had, like, an early version of, like, Google Glass.
Yeah, yeah
I had
yeah.
that as a note. I'm like,
they actually
whoa.
Got that one pretty right.
Yeah, yeah that was
It was, like,
on.
Google Monocle.
Yeah.
It was
just yeah, one. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I did, yeah. like, I did like how, because at first I was looking at the image that was on the left side, like, the thing he was watching. But then I started looking at Michael Ironside. His face, like, staring into the camera like that. It was, like,
yeah.
so, like, innocent and weird.
yeah.
It was almost like he legit just wanted his attention, and then when yeah. he didn't, he well, decided to kill him.
Talk to me. so, he crashes the subway car for no reason. And it was like 7 minute scene that just didn't need to be
there. Oh, it had nothing.
And he just gets off the train.
And it's quickly followed up with another pointless scene where, for no reason, he just berates a cabbie. And destroys a cab.
His cab, yeah.
For nothing.
Which the cabbie is into it for like half of it.
Yeah, he's like, kind of
that. Yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah, so rock and you're roll, wild. Man. Yeah. yeah. You gotta meet my sister. Yeah. She likes rock and roll music. And then.
You can talk about tattoos and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he said that.
And then he's like, then he's suddenly not into it. That scene mystified me.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I do want to, as I sometimes like to do, I'm going to pay this movie a compliment. I did get one genuine laugh, and it's in the Sean Connery fish out of plane water scene. Comedy. The plane scene, the safety video.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's very funny.
That was funny.
And it's like a parody of a plane safety video, but it involves like people being thrown around, and it shows like a crazy fake plane crash.
That was funny.
It's really funny. Yeah.
After I saw that, I was laughing, and then I questioned myself for a minute, and I was like, is that funny? I'm like, yeah, it is. It is. It is funny.
I would have, that made me say, like, yeah. I'm like, I would have really just enjoyed a Sean Connery fish out of water movie. Like
if they had done just, like, a sideways, like, rom-com Highlander.
Yeah.
With, like, Sean Connery and that woman he sat next to on the plane. Like, yeah. I would have been cool with that.
Yeah, I probably would have watched that movie and
kind of. And then, like, you have elements of, like, he has to fight off some Highlanders and everything.
Yeah.
That's a movie to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Basing around that. So. And we've also, I think we forgot to mention that the guy who Christopher Lambert built the shield with, but for unknown reasons, Christopher Lambert is out of the shield company. That's not really explained. I guess he was super old. Well, but his friend was pretty old, too.
He's still an old and tired man.
Yeah. But his friend is like, ooh, you've got to go above the shield, and just tells him this. And then Christopher Lambert takes that information, files it away, does nothing with it for about an hour. And
then remembers it.
Then remembers it and is like, oh yeah, that guy did tell me one thing.
And this is where John C. McGinley comes into it.
Yeah. Because John C. McGinley runs the S.H.I.E.L.D. company now.
Yes.
And he's keeping the S.H.I.E.L.D. company going, even though the S.H.I.E.L.D. is clearly not needed.
And it's his second appearance on the podcast, too.
What was the other movie he was in?
Rocket!
Yeah. Oh, yes! Forget that! Yes!
One of my favorite also single scenes ever in Alex Cross when they're discussing what to do and they all huddle.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, so we decided.
Yeah.
Bring it in, guys.
That's right. He did. He had that insane subplot in Alex Cross that clearly was related to something we never got.
Listen, guys, I'm going up for re-election, so we're gonna need to keep this quiet.
Yes.
So he comes in and he's like, "Hey, let me talk to you here, pet pal," to that his friend. And he's like, "Leave us alone, McCloud." So McCloud's like, "Okay, bye."
Yeah.
And he just leaves.
Oh, I guess we'll go.
Yeah. And this is where I think he goes back to his place. And he hears something in his apartment.
Well, we do get before we get that, we're very close. We get a strange flashback to younger Connor McCloud, a scene that maybe in some cuts does play earlier, explaining that Connor McCloud built the shield, which we've already seen after we've had characters talk to us about all of this. And
which I think that was during the scene where he's talking to his partner too. It's like, oh, you remember the good old days, and like flashback.
Yeah, we kind of Scooby Doo it. Yeah.
My question here, too, is I understand they want to bring the shield down because they say the atmosphere is actually okay now, but is the shield doing any harm being up?
I think it's just blocking the sky in there.
So people just want to see the sun and the sky.
Yeah. Basically, because the woman is like, Virginia Madsen's like, oh, have you ever seen a blue sky?
Oh, yeah, and he's like, he's like, I wish you could see the stars. And she's like, me too. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's okay. So somebody wrote that down? Like that was what was on your side for the day? All right.
But like in the scheme of like, you know, bad guys plots and everything, or maybe not plots, but in the scheme of like the things that bad guys are doing wrong, this is like way down there. Like,
this is way
down. The guy's just keeping the shield up. Yeah, he's doing it because he wants to keep making money. That's not good, but like, the only downside is that people can't see the sky.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's not that bad.
That's not that bad. Right. Right. It's a way. It's the whole plot is based on a poor use of taxpayer dollars. Really. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I was confused. Because like, really, that's the plot of this movie. Like,
wasteful government spending.
I thought it'd be like a Highlander plot. Like,
there should have been a scene with like Sean Kurtz like, here's your taxpayer dollars at work.
You paid for it.
This is the fleecing of America.
The big payoff at the end is they get the like local news station that we saw at the beginning of the film to do a you paid for it story. Yeah. Well, even in John C. McGinley at one point when they're going over like, well, what happened if the shield would come down? He's like, the shield came down, we'd have to file for bankruptcy. It's like, oh, these are the stakes.
Ooh.
One company filing for bankruptcy when like in the background you have like these immortal warriors going at it, but really at the heart of it is just one company's financial status.
Those guys might file chapter 11.
Meanwhile, they're like fighting with broadswords and time travel and laser guns and everything. Like, it's kind of ridiculous when you like compare these.
Yeah.
Epic battles to what they're fighting for.
Yeah. And now there is a scene, because before Sean Connery comes in, Christopher Lambert and Michael Ironside meet at where Michael Ironside, this building where the cabbie dropped him off and Michael Ironside is hanging out. Right? I think it's like an old church.
Yeah.
And they have a sword fight.
One of many
sword fights. Yeah. And the best part about this scene is Christopher Lambert does tell Michael Ironside, like, boy, you really screwed up. By sending guys back, you gave me my power back, and I wasn't going to do anything. I was just going to grow old and die, and you have foiled your entire villain plan. I didn't even do anything.
Right.
Like, you won and then decided to lose. Yeah. And, oh, and I also wanted to say, I'm a little concerned about the future, because based on this movie, the future is full of sparks. There is sparks. Everything yeah. that you well, it's touch like that. Just it's turns like into a shower of sparks.
Yeah. Well, Michael like Ironside
was... Super Mario Brothers future.
Yeah.
That's why Michael Ironside is always wearing those rubber gloves. He had to be well insulated.
I don't even want to use a toaster. I just feel like everything is just like you... well, you just get, you know, sparks cover you.
Yeah. So yeah, they're fighting in the church, and he gives that whole speech, and then the fight just ends.
I thought they just said they couldn't fight on holy ground.
They did say
that. Wasn't that like the previous scene? I was confused why they were fighting in a church.
It did look like a church, so that... Well, I guess we'll add that to the list of things that don't make any sense. But yeah, Christopher Lambert like rides the top of an elevator to the bottom of the church.
He just crashes into the ground.
Yeah, and he's
trying to kill Ironside, but Ironside survives, and he's like, "All right, bye."
Well, all right, fight you next time.
Yeah, he literally just disappears.
Yeah.
Well, he's immortal too, right?
Yeah.
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 So now with
I think everyone in the past is immortal, apparently.
I believe
no one died in those days.
And now with 30 minutes left in the movie, Sean Connery and Christopher Lambert come together. That's it. There's only 30 minutes left. Sean Connery comes in, and for reasons I still don't understand, they have a sword fight. Yeah,
they try to kill each other even though they're like, hey, what's
up? Hey, my old friend, hey.
Yeah, until Connery's finally like, hey, you called me.
Yeah. And then actually Christopher Lambert has his like sword to Sean Connery's throat. And then, even at the end, Sean Connery is like a little uncomfortable. Like, you can tell that his character's even like, ooh, that
is yeah, I thought they were just cool. like fighting for old time's sake because he trained him. And then, like, it's like, oh, why is he trying to kill him when he was the one that said, Ramirez, my old friend?
Yeah, a little too into it.
Yeah.
And based on that first scene, if he had killed Sean Connery, he might have died too.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they were always supposed to be linked. Though that didn't work out later, so. I don't know. We needed another line like that. Like, so if you kill Ramirez, then you die too. But unless he gets crushed by a fan, then you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And at this point, too, Michael Ironside, for reasons that didn't make sense at this point in the movie to me and don't make sense later in the movie, decides to get involved with the operation of the company that runs the show.
It's all like Joker.
Yeah.
On the company.
And Storm
just shows up into a boardroom.
The Dark Knight is a ripoff of Highlander 2.
It definitely is. They definitely saw this scene. They're like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that better. Why does Michael Ironside, why does he care about this shield? There's no reason for him to care about this, right?
I thought at first when I was watching it that he cared because he knew Highlander McLeod would be coming to
that's what I figured too.
But then the more I was thinking about it, how does he know that?
Yeah, like why would
because he just like got here? And he has one sword fight with him. Like,
right?
How does he know his old? Unless like he's been watching him on that little video feed for years, and he's like, oh, McLeod helped build that shield, and now he wants to take it down.
Maybe, but because he like in the first scenes he seems to like want to co-run this shield company. And I'm like, who, what, for money? Like, what, I don't, like, yeah, I don't know, like, what.
It was very unclear.
What is,
and also,
I'm a great CFO. Yeah.
Also, what company has, like, someone packing heat in the boardroom to when someone comes in, he just mercilessly shoots him in the stomach 10 times.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Justin McGinley was like, I thought this might happen. Yeah.
So and John C. McGlynn is sitting back like, impressive work.
Yeah.
Good job.
Imagine like the CEO of like Rob Wegman, like at a board meeting and having like his right hand man shooting someone and be like, okay, let's talk this out first.
So, what's his name? I can't remember the bad guy's name now. Ironside.
Michael Ironside.
He, I was trying to remember the actual character's name.
Oh, General Katana.
He gets some stock shares. Yeah, he becomes a full majority owner of the company.
Yeah.
And so then I forget what happens next.
Well, then Sean Connery and... like, there's a quick, hilarious scene with Christopher Lambert and Sean Connery where he's trying to bring him up to this. And Sean Connery's like, ah, S.H.I.E.L.D. sounds terrible. But it's clear that even Connery's character doesn't understand what's going on, so they just end a scene by saying, McCloud, your time is now. Which is just a way of saying, like, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know what's going on.
You know? And he breaks, like, the globe.
Yeah, you like, punches the globe.
Yeah, because it was almost as, it really did look like they had no idea. Like, they had no idea how to end it, and, like, they knew, Sean Connery, like, didn't really care, so he was like, all right, let's go get it.
Yeah, whatever you're talking about. Yeah.
Go team.
So they drive in to the bad guy, to the S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters now in a car. Or Ramirez and, or Sean Connery and Christopher Lambert drive in a car.
This scene I kind of liked with them driving in and getting shot up. I thought it was, like, well done. It was shot interestingly, and it was, like,
was a cool idea. Yeah. This was a cool idea in a dumb movie. Yeah.
So they're driving, they just drive into the building, and they're just getting shot to hell by the...
Like 2,000 bullets shoot them up.
And it's some cool shots, slow motion of them getting shot and, like, writhing and painting the car and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool until the end of the scene where they open the trunk and Virginia Madsen's in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank God none of those 2,000 bullets went through the backseat of the car, because she would have been... Hamburger.
And she's taken to meet my new favorite character in the movie, Dr. Sonny Jackson.
Dr. Sonny Jackson.
You know, with this, where we were talking off camera about, like, Southern accent parodies. He's just like, hey, sugar, why don't you all sit down right here? I'm Dr. Sonny Jackson.
You like some sweet tea?
Everything is taken to 10. Like, clearly, Russell Mulcahy couldn't say to this guy, you know what? Let's dial that back. Have you ever
heard of Southern Prison before?
Yeah, let's take it out of the realm of parody and, you know, try to reel it in.
And then Sean Connery and McCloud go full Abduction, where they play the whole possum.
Yep. And or
the Jean-Claude Van Damme
from Street Fighter. Make people think you're dead.
Works every time.
They stand up. They punch two guards. They walk in. Dr. Sonny Jackson's like, oh, you boys are...
Larry.
And then he faints. And, you know, then the team is ready to go.
Yeah.
Their first obstacle, they walk into another room, a giant fan. A Highlander's worst enemy. Fans.
It had to be fans.
Yep. At which point, Sean Connery, who's barely been
what's this room for?
Why do they have a room with a descending fan? Yeah, from what's
supposed to be, like, a eco-friendly, like, company that helps save the world. They have a lot of death traps in there.
This is a real Bond villain, like, lair they have.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about that. This company, like, had this innocently seeming company has, like, armored guards with, like, automatic weapons on standby to just shoot people on sight.
Yeah.
I guess they get a lot of... terrorism going on there. So.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Well, there was a terrorist act there.
And this fan keeps coming down. Everyone, and two immortals and a terrorist, Virginia Madsen, are like, what do we do? What do we do? And Sean Connery's like, I've got this. And for some... using magic?
Well, he starts... Yeah, he, like, slams his sword into the ground, which I guess really doesn't have to do with anything. I thought he was going to stop it with the sword.
I feel like that was just to look cool.
Yeah, I feel like people always do that with swords. They, like, throw them into the ground just to look cool.
Yeah. And then he starts, like, reciting a poem or something.
And Amazing Grace starts playing.
Amazing Grace on bagpipe starts playing.
Yeah.
And then some sort of, like, crystal comes out of the sword. And
yeah, and then it's just, like, the room kind of glows and...
And he disappears. The door opens, and then he kind of disappears. He's like, he has a great, I should have written this down. He's like, maybe I'll see you later. And then he just disappears. And I'm like, what kind of exit is that? Yeah. Maybe I'll see you.
I think the cloud says, will I ever see you again? He's like, who knows?
Will I ever see you again? Who knows? Yeah. Highlander 3, quickening. Even quicker. Yeah.
Quickening.
Yeah. So he's gone. And at this point, I'm like, what did Sean Connery, in the scheme of this plan, the only thing Sean Connery has contributed is he punched a guy in the face.
He broke a globe.
Punched a guy in a... one henchman in the face... and made a rotating fan disappear. That is the only things he has contributed to McCloud's plan.
They had to get him in the script somehow. So.
I know. You could, that's where you can really tell, like, Sean Connery was not meant to be in this.
And I expected him to come back at the end of the movie or give some, like, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, advice at the end of the movie, but...
Well, he kind of, because remember they played some of those flashback...
And they play, like, audio
clips. Well, I don't even know if some of them were flashbacks. There was one line that I don't remember him saying that they played.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into later, but...
Yeah, yeah. It just became, like, bits of wisdom from Sean Connery.
Oh, he did, yeah, he does come, like, because he says in his head, like, it's going to take the both of you to take it down or whatever.
Yeah, which I forgot about that,
Yeah.
We can discuss that later, but...
Yeah. So, yeah, he's dead.
And now...
And then
this is a scene where Michael Ironside, I think, kills...
Well, Christopher Lambert and Virginia Madsen, like, are in a truck, and they run over Michael Ironside.
Yeah.
And then Michael Ironside, and they're like, yeah! And I'm like, I'm just watching this movie, but I think everyone in this movie knows he's immortal.
Running
him over with a truck does nothing for you. Oh, yeah,
that bizarre truck scene.
Yeah.
What about that? That was out of nowhere.
Yeah. And I totally, I don't know what happened there, because like, I literally just kind of phased out during the fight. Because he climbs up on the truck, and they start fighting like on top of the truck.
They're fighting on top of the truck.
I'm like, I just can't watch another...
Well, and one guy with long hair gets thrown off the truck, and this scene is interestingly shot.
I didn't know who it was.
Yeah. I didn't know who it was. Because like, they both have long hair. They both have long dark hair, and I'm like,
and they're both wearing like dark clothing.
I was saying that too, because like when there's like wider shots, I couldn't tell who the character was, because they both had the same.
They both
style.
Look the same.
I throw a beard on one of them.
They both had the same barber.
Yeah,
and lack of barber.
And then they now Christopher Lambert, and it is Michael Ironside who gets thrown off, and Christopher Lambert and Virginia Madsen are in some kind of a tunnel that takes them through a mountain above the shield, which seems very difficult to climb, but they don't really set up why, but like Virginia Madsen's struggling, and...
At some point along the way too, like Brian was going to bring up, Michael Ironside does throw John C. McGinley out of the window balls.
That's right. For no reason, which again completes the arc.
Just because he said like, hey,
why did Michael Ironside care about this company? Like, you know, yeah.
So yeah, so they go up to some chamber, which is about, is it above the clouds?
Yes.
Or above the shield, I mean.
Yeah.
They get to this like chamber, which is like, I guess like the power source or something of the shield. There's like a big laser, so you can tell it's a power source.
I also don't understand why they make it sound like McCloud doesn't have any idea like how this thing works, but he like designed it.
He built it, which again is a point of like, why is that a plot point? Because that plot point actually seems to impede the movie more than help the movie.
Because
at one point John C. McGinley's character says something like, or he's talking to Michael Ironside, he's like, you gotta stop him because that old crazy guy gave them the coordinates for the power source and they might figure it out.
Yeah.
It's like, in theory, he was like, McCloud was the one that created the power source. Like, how does he not know all this already?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then Michael Ironside, they're in this chamber, and Michael Ironside pops up again and there's another fight.
Another fight. which just ends with like a really slow, like Christopher Lambert does cut off Michael Ironside's head, but really thinks about it.
Yeah,
you know.
And Michael Ironside just like sits there and takes it.
Yeah. Well, his hand hurt. He hurt his hand, so he can't.
Yeah, he does. He does resign himself. And there was no like, I kept kind of thinking like, oh, Christopher Lambert is gonna have to do some cool move to beat Michael Ironside, because whenever in movies when you have two characters that are equally suited, someone's gonna have to do something cool. That's where like super duper loopers and like stuff like that come in, but. No, I mean, there was no real, like, cool move. But, like, at some point, like, Michael Ironside, like, fell over, and then Christopher Lambert's like, well, I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
I'm reaching back.
One, two and a half, two and three quarters. All right, I've cut off your head. Gotcha.
I'm just imagining, instead, Michael Ironside getting up and running around the circular chamber with, like, with Christopher Lambert chasing after him with the sword.
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't tell one of them tires out.
Yeah, I just want to... And they're both being like, look, we're both immortal.
I think it'd be funny if he still didn't die after his head was cut off.
If his head was still talking.
Super immortal.
Yeah.
And so then this is where you hear Connery in his head saying, like, it's going to take the both of you.
It's going to take the both of you.
what was going on here? Because you're right. He just says it's going to take the both of you to stop this. And then McCloud just walks in there and stands there and stops it.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would you put that line in and then not have both of them do it?
I don't know.
There was no reason. It's not like, you know, that line needed to be in there. Like,
I feel like this was a situation where at some point Connery's like, well, listen here, McCakey. I'm not coming back and retracking anything. You got what you got.
Just use it.
Use it. It works fine.
Why? But like, just don't even like play that audio clip. It's not right. Like, you know, he reacted to the voice and like, all right, we already shot this scene. We need him to react to that. Like,
yeah.
He could have just stepped in there, destroyed it, and that would have been it.
That would have been it. Yeah. When it's kind of goofy where it's like the answer is just like, because even Virginia Madsen's character has a look on her face where she's like, what? That like he it? Just like he just steps inside into it? This beam of power and that breaks it and it just destroys everything.
Freaking destroyed Michael Ironside's hand, but he goes all inside it, his whole body. That's and true, she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so it blows up everything. Blows up the shield, blows up the satellite, blows up everything.
Yeah.
They should have done another voiceover after and been like, huh, the joke would have been on you because if both of you had gone in, then one of you would have been immortal, but you wouldn't have known which one, and you would have been okay unless your right kneecap was cut off.
Yeah,
something like that.
Also, see me in Medicine Man later this year.
The Scottish Repertory Theatre is having me back on a return engagement.
Yeah.
So that's like the end then, right? They kind of look at the sky.
They see the stars. You know, like suddenly the stars come out and she's like, stars. And we're all, as the audience, supposed to be like, wow. We've got water. And we just get a bunch of weird Sean Connery dialogue over credits.
Oh, I shut it off as soon as the credits started.
Oh, there was dialogue over the credits?
Not over the credits, but like there's still like another bit of like Sean Connery dialogue over like a wide shot, right? Yeah, or pictures or something. It was just a bunch of like...
Turn it off, right?
It was a bunch of like, silly, like, kind of like up with people stuff where he's like, you can accomplish anything. If you, like, it was just very generic.
Become a motivational speaker?
Yeah. I wanted it to, at the end, be like, and I'm still mad at Cubby Broccoli. I got screwed on those Bond movies. Yeah, this is just a crazy, crazy movie. And we should talk about, I know a million people are going to write in and be like, because I was trying to find a Loved It review, but all of the Loved It reviews are basically like, watch the Renegade version or the director's cut or watch this producer's cut that came out on DVD that like people keeps. And the funniest part of those reviews is like, almost all of them hedge those reviews and they're like, look, it's still not great,
right.
But...
Well, and I can't imagine how bad the theatrical version must have been that this was like the better version that we watched.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to watch it sometime because, I mean, this is...
I do want to. Well, the movie is incomprehensible. Yeah. It's crazy, and I do like some of Russell Mulcahy's other stuff. He did. Have you guys ever seen the Shadow movie with Alec Baldwin?
No.
It's a surprisingly entertaining movie. It has some issues, but a lot of it's very fun and it's very visual. And Mulcahy, you know, and Russell Mulcahy. I think for all the issues this movie has, the visuals are not the problem with it. Like it's a very, you know, that part works.
Yeah.
I don't have a So Wrong It's Right, but I do have a fun bit of trivia that I think people will like. Have you guys ever seen the Total Eclipse of the Heart video? Are you guys familiar with it?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's pretty
amazing.
It's amazing.
It's 80s personified.
It's 80. It is a video that makes no sense. And somebody did a version of the song where they actually kept the original video.
Mm-hmm. The literal.
Yes. If you Google if you Google Total Eclipse of the Heart literal music video or something like that, it will come up.
That's really funny.
It's one of the funniest things you'll see this year if you haven't seen it already. And Russell Mulcahy is the guy who made that original video.
When I was reading up the movie, I thought it was funny that he tried to get an Alan Smithy on this.
Yes.
But he couldn't. They wouldn't let him.
They would. I think
because there was a clause in the contract that said he couldn't badmouth the movie in public, and by getting an Alan Smithy, it would be considered badmouthing the movie, so he had to put his name on it.
Yeah, his name was really forced onto this movie. All right, let's do a quick round of Is It So Bad It's Good? Brian, we'll start with you.
No, I honestly, there was a period where I wasn't really talking much because I fell asleep during part of the movie, so I couldn't really talk about it at that point, so Unless I was in the mood for a good nap, I don't think I can watch it again.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. At least not this version of it.
I would say no, but it did remind me how much I liked 80s and 90s Sean Connery and just how much charisma oozed out of 80s and 90s Sean Connery. Like
that. If only he was in a big diaper.
If only. It kind of made me actually want to watch other Sean Connery movies from that era of like some of the terrible like legal thrillers he made or like just some of the, like the not good movies he makes. I'm like, nah, I just like watching Sean Connery. Yeah,
very watchable. Yeah. Even in bad movies.
We should do a little housekeeping. So we have...
Who's getting fired?
You know what?
Andy.
I'm sorry. You know what,
guys? We're letting Andy go.
It's my, dead it's, weight. It's Bunch me. Cuts, I gotta go. So. We have
file for bankruptcy
in the canon.
Unless that shield stays up.
We're making fun of this movie for setting up things and never paying them off. We need to clarify what movies we're doing that are coming up and are not coming up. And Brian,
I just have one. All right, so I Jupiter Ascending, I know is
gonna, that's a good.
I'm going to be out of town for a couple of weeks. So we have to wait for that.
Okay,
one. So maybe we can.
Okay, Jupiter Ascending.
Wait a few weeks.
We'll shut that.
Jupiter Ascending is going to happen because we know that's funny enough to do. This is not the order they're going to happen in, but we have a couple we know we're going to do. Lost in Space, we will
Which
be.
Which I have a soft place in my heart for that one.
Yes.
Very special place. And I think I have two copies of it too.
Wow. Oh, really? Okay.
So. I'll have to look.
And Diamonds Are Forever is going to come up soon too. We got to bring it. I want to bring in. Yeah, because we pitched that one a long time ago.
We need Salmonine for that
one. We do need Salmonine. Because I think, well, I don't. Oh God, I can't. I'm not going to tease movies anymore. But we have another Bond film that we're probably going to do closer to when Spectre comes out. But we're going to do Diamonds Are Forever this summer. So those three are a go. Mordecai is out because after. Actually watching some of it, it is attempting to be a comedy. And it's harder to make fun of a comedy. I mean, hey, Jonathan Depp is terrible in it. It is, if you like bad Jonathan Depp movies, check it out.
Do you refuse to call him Johnny now?
I refuse to give in. I refuse to acknowledge. I'm not going to play into his whims anymore.
He's lost his privilege.
Absolutely. The bit I watched was terrible and just awful. But because Mordecai is kind of a comedy, Mordecai's out. So Jupiter Ascending will be coming up at some point. Lost in Space will be coming up. And Diamonds Are Forever. And all three of those will be, you know, maybe not immediately, but coming up soon. Is there anything else?
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's all I've got. Okay. As always, we are on Twitter at Windup Films. We are on Facebook. Oh, this is what I wanted to plug. Go to Facebook. You have to see the photos that we put up for the Jaws 3 episode. Everyone made me laugh out loud.
The pit stains one was pretty good.
Yes, with Dennis Quaid with the crazy pit stains. Yes. But also that one Jack put up of them in the control room where Dennis Quaid is like screaming. Something about that just made me laugh. And it's very, very funny. Yeah, be our friend on Facebook with that. And yeah, I think that brings it to a close.
Will the listeners hear us again?
Will she? Maybe.
It's possible.
Who's gonna pay me?
Who can shay?
Yeah, who can shay?
I'll play us out with some bagpipes.
Yeah, we should have Amazing Grace. All right, we'll see you back here next time. Bye.
Bye.